But Jeremy from Kentucky on Public Broadcasting Network, please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate. Send the fundage. Keep Free Speech Alive. You can mail your check or money order payable to RFBN. Mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, and ask about our t-shirt offer. This is your Thursday Night Broadcast, where we have the heavyweight champion of Red Pills.
I must break you.
William, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good to be here again on Thursday. Looking forward to the weekend. You're coming in great. You're coming in a little muffled.
All right. Yeah, we had this problem Tuesday. Something with Mike Scott. I don't know, Mike, how are you catching here? Maybe you got to mute your Skype.
Well, Mike's muted.
Let me kick it to you because you sent me an interesting article on Richard Wagner. Richard.
Let me just read some of it. So this is just, you know, based white men from the past. Wagner was, you know, Hitler was really loved Wagner, his music, and he was a composer. And, I mean, look at Wagner's face, and he was, you could see he's a great man, a great white man. And, let me pull that article up. This was actually sent by Paul in our group chat.
You know, Wagner looks like John Wayne with a little bit more hair and some, like, chill inside there. But no, a great composer of the, just after the classical era and, you know, early to mid-1700s, he wrote a lot of operas, known for his hard-hitting political views, too, as you're about to read.
Correct. Yeah. Let me get on that. And
he was a great composer of the Romantic era. So, you know, you had the Baroque, early 1700s, and you had the Classical, and then you had the Romantic era, because you had a lot of great composers that did musical scores for plays and operas, and Wagner was at the top of the list. Also, he was known as a polemicist, which is basically a person that was known for their very combative political views. And in Wagner's case, his anti-Semitic political views.
Yep. So let's give him a listen. Good intro there. So this is from Renegade Tribune, and again, it was sent to me by Paul from California. Sent to us. And it's from February 22nd, so it's pretty fresh, right up here. And it looks like I don't know what you call it, but it's got Roman numeral numbers here. Das Judentum in der Musik, and which means translates to Jewry in music. The original essay of 1850, Richard Wagner. Characteristics: the Jew, who, as we all know, claims to have a God all to himself, arrests our attention in appearance. It matters not to which particular European nationality he may belong. The Jew's appearance strikes us as something so unpleasantly incongruous that involuntarily we wish to have nothing in common with him. Formerly, no doubt, this rebounded to his misfortune, but nowadays we cannot fail to recognize it as a misfortune which quite permits of his still feeling very well, so much so that considering the measure of his success, his dissimilarity from us is even liable to be esteemed by himself as a distinction. We are not concerned with the moral side of this disagreeable play of nature, but merely with the consideration of its relation to art, and in this connection must be mentioned the inconceivability of the Jew's exterior as a representative medium. The term that stuck out for me, the disagreeable play of nature, and it made me think of E. Michael Jones describing, well, pointing out what it says in the Bible in First Thessalonians 2:14. The Jew is the enemy of all humanity, essentially what it says. The adversary of God himself, or, you know, completely against nature altogether. So they push LGBTQ and all this other degenerate filth. So I don't want to go on too long with it. Let me read another book. Thus, when plastic art wishes to represent the Jew, it generally draws its model from imagination, his either discreetly ennobling or leaving out exterior, although those traits which characterize his presence in ordinary life, never in his wanderings does he stray upon the theatrical stage, except to this being so rare, both in point of number and in respect of the circumstance attending them, and that they may be said to confirm the rule. Okay, so a lot of that I have a hard time following. I am getting lost in some of it, but one thing that struck out to us, and never in his wanderings does he stray upon the theatrical stage. So it's like he always has somebody else doing the dirty work for him. And that's absolutely true. That's why everybody's so confused. They have no idea that it's a Jew behind everything. Exceptions to this being so rare, both in point of number and in respect of the circumstances attending them, that they may be said to confirm the rule. Okay, so I got it. I got it that time, I think. Let me kick it that over to you, Jeremy, for your comments so far on that. I think probably read enough of it.
I'm not a big fan of the Romantic era. I mean, if it wasn't for Wagner and Beethoven, I wouldn't listen to anything in that era at all. But I mean, you can't deny Wagner was a genius. And as I stated in my little introduction, he was known for his combative political views. And this article that's featured by the Renegade Tribune really accentuates that. And to the point where, like, you know, when I listen to classical music on, I listen to WKNS, it's a local station. They're very liberal. They feature a lot of NPR articles. But I love the music in the morning. And anytime that they feature Wagner, they have to put out the disclaimer, like, Wagner was very anti-Semitic, and but we got to play his I mean, that's the thing, man. This guy contributed so much to music in the 19th century that they can't deny him. And, you know, he preceded such as, you know, Jews like Felix Mendelssohn, who, I got to admit, I did like Mendelssohn's score on Midsummer Night's Dream, the Shakespeare play. But, I mean, nobody paved the way like these great European composers. Get back to the Baroque era, Vivaldi, you know, and George Frideric Handel, two of my favorite Baroque composers. And, you know, you get into the classical era there. You know, of course, you got Bach. Bach was Baroque, but it sort of, you know, he led the way. For Mozart, who was the like main classical composer, and then they paved the way for people like Beethoven and Wagner. And so Wagner just can't be denied. It's like he's so anti-Semitic, and we can't stand what he wrote, but we can't deny like his talent. We have to play his music. That's always like the disclaimer that they put out. Anyway, I sort of did a little nerdy classical music thing there, but. Anyway, William, I did find that article very interesting. I appreciate you sending that to me. And that's a very good precursor to maybe what we're going to get into with the Brother Nathaniel clip that you sent.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there was a reason why Wagner and, you know, people like him had combative political opinions on the Jews, you know, as well as many great people in the early 20th century, you know, Ford and the like.
It was it's still at the tail end of when Europe was not allowed to be multicultural, as Barbara Spector said. Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. Well, the Jew hadn't put Europe hadn't put the tape over Europe's mouth yet during the Romantic era. The tape came over Europe's mouth after World War II. And now the Jew has Europe in submission as it slowly destroys through miscegenation.
Yeah, and Wagner recognized that. And just like Wagner, Henry Ford and Charles Lindbergh, Ford and Lindbergh were key people in the 20th century that had a great impact on American culture and industry. And yet they had all of these anti-Semitic remarks, as it were. And so history can't deny their greatness, but history always has to throw that disclaimer. These people were great and they did a lot, but they were very anti-Semitic. You know, that's just funny, y'all. That's always got to be thrown out there. It's like they're saying, well, we recognize they were great, but we totally can't condone their politics. Because, you know, you remember Lindbergh. I mean, he was in America First, the original America First movement, not wanting to get into World War II because he recognized it as a Jewish war.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, anyway, speaking of Jewish wars, we've got this thing with Ukraine going on, and there was a very, very clip from Brother Nathaniel. Did you want to get into that, or do you have some more on the topic?
Yeah, we can jump over to that, sure. Just play the clip. This is a clip, this is Brother Nathaniel's latest clip with talking about Victoria Nuland, a.k.a. Noodleman, this disgusting kike wench that, I didn't used to like to use that word, but it really is an appropriate word for these people, the kikes.
This is a circle. I feel like it's a circle, a kikel. Anyway,
well, just look at her evil face and her evil eyes, and I mean, what she's doing over there. You know, it's just.
I think we can fit
so
it in.
So evil.
Right at 6 minutes. See if you can fit it in, Mike. And if not, we'll just cut it short.
Oh, yeah, we got just enough time.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most deranged of them all? Vicky Nuland, the de facto president of a fractured Ukraine since 2014. How does a cycle like this arrive at such influential sway? Well, she's Undersecretary for Political Affairs, a powerful position at the Department of State. Only hateful Jews like this bitch hauls their ample backsides up the official ladder one rung at a time to make it upstairs.
The article goes on is that the logic, according to these officials, is only when Ukraine shows Russia it might lose Crimea will Putin get serious about negotiating.
So I'm going to go back to the way I framed this before, which is that there is a drone base in Crimea where the drones that the Iranians have given Russia are being launched from. There are command and control sites in Crimea that are essential for Russia's hold on all of the territory, including the land bridge. There are mass military installations on Crimea that Russia has turned into essential logistics and back office depots for this war. Those are legitimate targets. Ukraine is hitting them, and we are supporting that.
Well, looky there. 2 Yids side by side against Russia, one a think tank kike, the other in charge of foreign affairs, and you get a bona fide declaration of war. Why shouldn't Putin take it at its core?
Мы не воюем с народом Украины. Об этом я уже много раз говорил. Он стал, сам народ Украины, стал заложником киевского режима и его западных хозяев, которые фактически оккупировали эту страну в политическом, военном, экономическом смысле.
Take a hint,
hey, stop for a second.
Russia.
Real quick, stop for a second, real quick. So, what Putin said there was, you know, I always hate it when we get the Russian and we don't have the video or watch the captions, but he just said, we're not at war with the Ukrainian people. The Ukrainian people are oppressed by the Kiev regime. We're at war. We're excoriating the West and the parasitic influence that they have in Ukraine and against the Russia there. Okay, go ahead.
Take a hint, gentlemen. Russia will not stop at the Dnieper River, but will cleanse Ukraine of Western handlers all the way to the Polish border. With the eyes of a modern-day Jezebel, lips in a sinister scowl, this Yiddishy bitch is leading America into a disastrous bankrupted failure. For why address East Palestine, Ohio's apprehensions when you can underwrite Ukrainian pensions?
We've almost exhausted what we call the fancy phrase, the drawdown authority, that Congress authorized for Ukraine in a bipartisan spending bill last month. Basically, we're out of money. And so that's why today, in order to sustain Ukraine as it continues to fight, I'm sending Congress a supplemental budget request. And it's going to deliver much-needed humanitarian assistance as well as food, water, medicine, shelter, and other aid to Ukrainians displaced by Russia's war, and provide aid for those seeking refuge in other countries from Ukraine. It's also going to help schools and hospitals open. It's going to allow pensions and social support to be paid to the Ukrainian people so they have something in their pocket.
Why should American goys have something in their own pockets picked when Noodleman and the Yids send it overseas to defeat their much feared, Orthodox Christian Russia? It's not an irrational hatred that Jews have of Russia, as some pundits say. It's a very rational hatred of Russia to the Jewish twisted mind. Russia, you see, is reviving the Byzantine Empire's vision of symphony of church and state. Thus, the Russian Orthodox Church informs the government of its values and interests, and the Russian government protects the security and interests of the Orthodox people and church. This is why Russia went into Syria to protect the Orthodox people there. The Yids are still in cringe mode over it. A symphony of church and state apparatus throws the Jews, Christ haters as they are, into second-class citizenship status. Noodleman and her vicious Kaikas tribe will bring America to the brink of obliteration to prevent this at every possible price. This is the price the American goy pays for letting Jews run and ruin their country. Even U.S. generals have Needleman's puppeteering hand working through the slits in their backs.
Russia has lost. They've lost strategically, operationally, and tactically. And they are paying an enormous price on the battlefield.
Last time I checked,
yeah, that's Mark.
Biden had to ask Russia's permission to visit Kiev this week. And Russia has lost another marionette puppet of a Schwarzer general with Noodleman's hands on the crossbars pulling all his strings.
We do know that Russia has a substantial number of aircraft in its inventory and a lot of capability left. That's why we've emphasized that, you know, we need to do everything that we can to get Ukraine as much air defense capability as we possibly can.
Won't work. Hasn't worked. Will never work. Russia's state-of-the-art avant-garde and Zircon hypersonic missiles has, as its essential functionality, a maneuverability that makes its trajectory unpredictable. This alone complicates all intercept attempts. We're dealing with a failure to communicate. Does delusional Noodleman in her neocon bubble hear voices in her head? Perhaps a music of the spheres? Nah, Satan himself whispers devilish effusions in her ears. Yeah, Satan works 24/7 to keep American goys trapped in Noodleman's delusions.
Something I wanted to point out from the clip is that they're justifying strikes on Crimea by saying that Iran is supplying drones, launching pads for drones in that area. But I mean, with Noodleman, like an official State Department, you know, saying that this is a legit strike, I mean, that is declaring war on Russia itself. I mean, we're in World War III, whether people want to admit it or not. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now they don't think Crimea belongs to Russia. They haven't ever, I don't think they've ever acknowledged that Russia took Crimea, which the Crimean people wanted to be part of Russia. They annexed it, aka whatever you want to say.
There were already bases on the Crimean Peninsula. There were already Russian bases there when the 2014 coup happened. You know, so, I mean, all Putin was doing was you know, military support there to keep the revolution from spreading. So there's that. Also, another thing I wanted to point out, resident Joe Brandon was talking about how we're out of money and he's petitioning Congress for more money. I mean, hell, just print more. I mean, what does it matter? Like Hillary Clinton said, what does it even matter? Just print more money. But you know what? No money for the residents of Palestine, Ohio. You know, no money for them, but let's send all kinds of money over there for this unjust Jewish war against Russia.
Well, it's really interesting that they chose the Palestine as their place to do their psyop with this train derailment. Massive amounts of toxic chemicals released, ruining the groundwater. And, you know, bringing people into dependence on city water, more people.
And you got General Miley Cyrus, you know, just going on going on with the talking points. And, I mean, his eyes, look at his eyes, dude. They're, like, all sunken in and stuff. I mean, this guy,
I have no respect for that guy.
And then the black dude.
Not a man.
General Lloyd or something like that. I mean, just. You know, just going on. I mean, our military at the top is gone. If there ever was going to be a military coup d'etat, it would have to be from, like, colonel downward. The generals are all, I mean, every general is basically confirmed by the Senate, so that tells you something.
No.
They're all gone.
Yeah. That makes it tough. Everything's coming from the top down, so we just control the one guy.
And
a few of the rest were good.
Another thing Nathaniel brought up was the symphony between church and state in Russia, church and the government. You know, in America, the whole claim to, you know, separation of church and state. You know, and I know where that's coming from. I get it. It's when they broke away Britain and the Church of England and all that. But I mean, it is a significant thing in Russia if the government is getting advice from the, you know, official church on issues of morality. I think that's major. There's two different jurisdictions there. There's the jurisdiction of the church and the jurisdiction of the state. But nothing, you know, says that the state can't get advice from the church on moral issues, because the church really should lead the issue on the charge of moral issues, I guess is what I'm saying. So I think that's legit.
Mm-hmm.
See, what else can we pull out of this? I think that was about it. The thing with Brother Nathaniel is, like, he holds back too much. he doesn't figure. Bro, we had him on Patrick and Jeremy's show, and that dude was fed posting all over the place, and we were just letting it go.
Yeah, and I was fed posting with the word kike, and I got inspired by him using it. Because he's a Jew, you know, if that's Jew by race or whatever, by ancestry. And he's renounced Jewry, which is what every Jew should do. You should renounce Jewry and Judaism because it's a satanic religion. It is an evil practice that has destructive to the entire human race. You should remove yourself if you're a Jew. You need to remove yourself from this because you're destroying yourself by being a part of this. And it's not just about yourself. It's about the rest of humanity. Do you want to be a good citizen of humanity? Do you want to be a person of God? Then you need to remove yourself from Jewishness and Judaism, period.
Well, I mean, the word God...
Say again? I lost you.
Yeah, you still got me. I was commenting on the word kite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it comes from Yiddish circle or kikel, and the early Jewish immigrants would put a circle if they couldn't sign their name in English or whatever, because they had a different alphabet, and they didn't want to put an X because it looked like a cross. They would put a circle, and so it became known as a kikel. That's like
put a six-pointed star in the middle of it.
I mean, people take these words and they use them, and they say they're words that we're not supposed to use. And we try not to use slang on RBN. We try not to do that. But I mean, we're doing a historical context here, so I think it's cool. But I mean, they call us crackers, you know, all of that, and redneck.
Yeah, they call us horrible things. You know, they talk about openly about how we should be genocided and that how they're doing it. You know, openly. Like, what? So I'm not going to say the word kike. No, I'm in the right. Totally in the right. That is what, that's an appropriate term. You know, if you take the two triangles, right? So the concept of as above, so below. So it's basically the double mind. This is the Jewish religion basis. And you have the upside down triangle laid on top of the right side up triangle. You have the six pointed star, and it also represents as above, so below, which is the motto. And do as thou wilt.
It's like a Baphomet.
Baphomet. Baphomet, aka Moloch.
And you know they say there's a lot of pictures of some of the founders doing that so below signal. I don't try to get into all that esoteric stuff, but I mean maybe the.
But you see it everywhere.
Right. That's followers, 1.5.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Okay, we're back. We are back. And yes, we let that song play extra long every time. So, on purpose, we love that song. And we always have to mention it. Yeah. So, Jeremy, yo, there you are. Okay, good. Yeah,
I'll just go to call if you want. We got Marcus and Joe coming up.
Yeah, let's bring Marcus in. Marcus, welcome to the show.
Hello, gentlemen. I want to say that, Ukraine has brought us a lot of things, Jake Sullivan and Vindman and people who have been destroying America and our country. They've been bringing us drugs and definite things that destroy little viruses which come into the place. That's been a great place for America. So we owe them a debt of gratitude, and that $200 billion that we've sent them so far is nothing compared to what we owe them. Definitely. Newland, you know, she must be, she's probably worth definitely at least $50 billion. And so we've got these people in our government which are creating this system, like Jake Sullivan, who's the National Security Advisor, and Anthony Blinken, who's the Secretary of State, which are both Trilateral Commission members, which we're going to go over to China about a month ago together and try to repair the ties after the balloon disaster. But that didn't happen because of all the other things that are happening that they're destroying America with. And so what we've got is a system of moneyed individuals, whether they're Jewish or Ukrainian or other, which are intent on destroying America, which have said, we're against crime, but they're not. They want crime. They want crime in these big cities because it makes their job easier of destroying America. So they are pro-crime. So what we got to say is Democrats are pro-crime in America. And you can run with that because it is true. We can see that their policies, Kim Gardner, the D.C., or not D.C., she's Chicago prosecutor that is totally pro-crime. We've got people like the D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser, which is pro-crime. We've got people in totally so many of our cities that are pro-crime, that they allow these people to go out and commit these crimes, and they do nothing, and they put them back on the streets, and they say, well, our cities, we're going to take away your guns because this whole thing, it's part of their process. It's part of the process that they have people like Vindman in the government, which say, that are pro-Ukraine, that have this whole system. It's part of the process that we have Lincoln in our government and Sullivan in our government. It's part of the process that we have a Buttigieg, which doesn't go over and take care of our problems in America. It's part of the process. We're tearing down the system right now, all right? That's the important part. We're tearing down the system, and we're going to lie to you as much, to your face, as much as possible so that you can say everything's fine. The price of eggs is $5 a dozen, where it was $1.20 before, but it's cheaper than ever before, and you're going to be able to afford it so much more. That's the purpose of the lying system that we have now.
Yeah, the people that are going out, that they're letting out of the jails, the pro-crime prosecutors and law enforcement at the top are district attorneys and whatnot, San Francisco district attorney related to Bill Maher, I think was the kid, I forgot the name of the guy. It's happening, they're emptying out the jails. These are proxy warriors to help destroy us, the people, letting them do this. It's part of a war, it's a warfare tactic. It's simply what it is. It's a Jewish act of war against the people, against American people. Because we're an impediment to their slave race of people that they're trying to create all over the whole planet. It's a new form of slavery. It's a new slave trade.
It's just taking on a slightly different format than it did in the transatlantic slave trade, which the Jews were entirely presided over and dominated.
I would just add that the Republicans are complicit too. I mean, even Trump and his criminal justice reform in the latter part of his presidency released a lot of black criminals that, you know, charged under drug charges. So that, there's that. I mean, yeah. The Republicans held innocent in this.
Well, when we had BLM, they were doing those chants across America, and they were saying, who do we protect? Black criminals. That was their whole, that was a huge chant back in the same time that they were shooting fireworks at the cops. There's a huge thing when they were trying to take down a statue, and it was, I was pretty pissed off about that. It was the summer of 2020 or something like that. But, you know, personally, I don't blame the Jews per se on that. I blame there's the players that are the Khazars that have been in the works for a long time. And even that little juror who was in charge of things, she definitely looks like a Khazar. I don't think it's a plan for the Jews per se. I know a lot of Jews. I know some Jews in my life, not a lot, a couple. They're fine. I think there is a definite plan that a lot of the huge Jews, money Jews, have been involved in for 100 or 200 years, definitely.
I don't want to get too much into the weeds of the Khazar thing. I mean, no matter who they are, and I don't even know if they can trace their lineage back to the Testament or not, but I mean, they're calling themselves Jews. You know, people like Schumer and Newland, they're calling themselves Jews. So identify themselves to target about. Anyway, William, your comments, and then we'll move to the next caller.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I have a different take. I think that if you're part of the Jewish tribe, that you need to disassociate from it as soon as possible, because it is a satanic religion. It's what I said earlier. It is a satanic cult. It is a international movement of tyranny over the entire planet, and that is the central that is the central place of it. It is the centerpiece. It is the bottom of the rabbit hole, international Jewry. You know, there's other players that participate in it, but they've been sequestered by the Jews, you know, like the Catholic Church or, you know, the Vatican or whatever. This is also a Jewish creation. People like to get that flipped around and think that, you know, well, that's the genesis. And then, you know, and I'm not saying that there aren't Jews that are innocent and haven't, you know, participated in this. But I'm saying that it is a responsibility, I believe, of every Jew to disassociate, you know, to realize what this tribe is and what it represents to humanity, the destruction of all humanity and the adversary to all of the human race, and to disassociate from it and rebuke it and condemn it for what it is.
Well, yeah, that's the point I was getting at. Like Jews, like, well, people like Newland and Schumer and Blinken, they call themselves Jews. You know, the Jews that the chosen getting in, about Jews dominating academia, and the Jew that wrote the empire of their own, Gabler. You know, talking about how Jews control Hollywood. They're openly bragging about how they're Jews and they control things. I don't know who they are really, and I would not debate whether they're really Jews or not, or whether they're really of the Israel of the Old Testament. I'm just telling them to identify themselves. And that's all we have to go out off. You know, that's what we have to go off of.
Well, what do we think, Marcus? What about what we said? Do you think that the Jews that you know, that it could be a good thing for them to rebuke Jewry itself and disassociate themselves from it after realizing what it is? Or should they just continue to be Jewish?
No, actually, I don't. I think that they have a long history of the times of religious holidays which they relate to, and I think those should be definitely honored within them. It makes for, you know, a cohesiveness with a race, which is great. And I don't feel that that's any type of problem whatsoever. I think that religious integrity, which is many of the Jewish people have, is awesome. And it should be continued till the end of time, till Christ comes back.
So you think that the Jewish religion is a healthy for humanity?
I think it's healthy for their race and for their people, and a bar mitzvah for a child is a wonderful thing, which he's going to remember for the rest of his life, and it's just going to be an integral part of their race. You know, there's a lot of things that they have that's it's a blessing from God. And well, it's the same thing that I got to say for the Christians, you know, like Christmas for us. It's not just our presents and everything. It's about the gift that Christ rose from the dead, and that was his birth, and that we honor that. And that's something that to throw these things away is just honor the breaking up of the society. It's the perestroika of religions across America and the world.
Let me just end with this, and then we'll move on, and we got to get to Joe. I don't have a problem with like people, preserving their heritage, even Jews. But like, what I got a problem with is when they say they're Jews and they're dominating over us and they have control over us. They openly admit that in their publications, like Haaretz and Jerusalem Post, and the books that I mentioned earlier on the Chosen getting in and all of that. It's when they openly brag about dominating us and got the choice free.
And so should we have a problem with the blacks dominating us in our society here? I mean, it's like Joe Biden has said blacks are going to dominate us because we have the dye. The whole thing where it's
included. Marcus, we got to move on, buddy.
I got no problem with someone preserving their heritage. It's when they try to destroy our culture and our country that I have a problem with it.
Right.
And they're calling themselves Jews. I don't know if they are or not, but that's what they call themselves. And that's what we call them.
But I think it's the responsibility of every Jew to point this menace out, because it permeates and dominates the mainstream Jewish culture.
You know. Hey, Mike, you want to take the next caller to...
Yeah, we got Joe in Florida.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, William. Thanks for taking my call. Good to hear you guys. Actually, I guess I can weigh in on this. It seems like an interesting point that I might have something to add. So I actually believed, I think what Marcus was getting at, you can't criticize them, the Jews, for their religion. They're trying to practice their religion. And, it must be a good thing if you really, their religion must be, the real intention is that it's good. Well, actually, I came to believe, thanks really to Dr. E. Michael Jones, the idea is this: in order to be a Christian, one must necessarily be anti-Jewish. So, in fact, you know, I'm not, I don't hate Jews. I've had many good Jewish friends in my life. It's not the Jewish individual people, but actually it is the religion. The religion is evil, okay? I mean, the religion of Judaism, which is actually a newer religion than Christianity, was founded after Christianity, is based on the Talmud, and we know what's in the Talmud. Repulsive, blasphemous, disgusting, offensive to the Lord Jesus and to his Blessed Mother. And so, if you really want to be a good Christian, not only do you have to reject the religion, you do actually have to help convert Jews, because the truth is, if they cling to their religion, it is only going to lead to their doom. And I think you agree with me, William, and I know Jeremy, but it's actually the religion that's the problem. Now, I'm not saying that Jews who don't practice their religion or don't even understand, I think a lot of Jews don't understand what their religion really is based on. But the fact is, that is the religion. It's a Christ-hating religion.
Yeah. Yes, Joe. Thank you. Yeah, I agree with really good points. Totally agree with you. I don't think it's just one thing I'd say is I don't think it's only the religion, because there's a lot of atheist Jews. They don't really mind. You know, it's a race and a religion, and they are both perpetrating the same horror onto humanity. And they don't really care if you're atheist or not. You're still a Jew. They consider themselves to be a bloodline of people. Yeah. And, you know, to be fair, if a Jew wants to get out of Jewishness, then they're massively persecuted by the, you know, Jewish power structure. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not an easy thing to do.
No, I don't think it is, but I think it's our duty as Christians to try and convert them. But I want to add one other thing separately, because you guys are talking about the war, the Ukraine war. I think something has changed. I want to say that a few weeks ago, Dr. Slattery was talking about it, or a month ago or 2 months ago, people were thinking, well, where exactly is any sign of anti-war? And then Gerald Celente threw this thing last weekend in Washington, Rage Against the War Machine, which I don't know, it's very sparsely attended. Okay. But I think it's even just the fact that it came off, I think Tulsi Gabbard spoke, Dr. Paul spoke, Dennis Kucinich, a former congressman, some of the old lefty anti-war, and then some of the more libertarian or right-leaning people that are anti-war, Daniel, what's his name, from the Ron Paul Institute, they were there. And I think that's a good sign in America, because I'm beginning to see there was some Hakeem Jeffries, the new speaker, the repulsively disgusting new speaker of the House, was confronted by some left-wing anti-war people in an audience. I saw a clip. And so these are good signs, because I was beginning to wonder, like, why is there not even any mention of somebody against this war, which is really a grave danger and is will destroy America, no doubt. If we continue this insane way of trying to bait Putin into World War III, well, what else could it end up with but the end of the world, basically? And people like Victoria Juland, you know, they need to be removed from our society. She needs to be arrested and possibly tried and executed. She's a warmonger and a war criminal doing the work for the Jewish thugs of Ukraine every day. What gives her the right to send our money to these Jewish thugs? I'm reaching Brother Nathaniel level. I'll tell you how I really feel.
Well, I'll say this. I do appreciate the anti-war that happened, but I will say this, that, you know, they blame the complex. A lot of talk. If they
Jeremy, you're cutting out. We lost you.
Take it.
Joe, I love your comments. They're so good, man. They're just great. You're spot on. You're hitting every nail. And I just think it's really the duty of every person in humanity, including Jews, to be pointing this out and to be exposing it. It's just, you know, God's going to hold you accountable if you don't. So, you know, if you have to do it in secret or whatever, you have to do it in whatever capacity you can do it. You have to do it. It's your duty as a human being. Okay? So if you're celebrating your religion and you're ignorant to the fact that this is what's happening, and, you know, that we have these war criminals out here destroying the planet, and you're just continuing to celebrate your religion, which is the same thing as what this enemy of all humanity is, with the same name, then you're just, you know, you're going to be held responsible by God. Period.
Hey, William, you got me now?
Yeah.
I was just going to say that, like, if this anti-war protest, I appreciate it, but they're out there using generalities like, you know, this is against the military-industrial complex. If this protest were to come out and say, we're against this war in Ukraine because it's a Jewish war against Russia, it would have been shut down quick, fast, and in a hurry. And that's the reason they were allowed to continue. And no one's allowed to come out and say this in an official protest. And that's the only reason they were allowed to continue and not be totally, the system come down on them. I'm just going to add that. Give me your thoughts on that, and we'll have to end the show. It's just like 9:58.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the other thing, is the censorship and the inability to get the message out there. And, you know, this tyrannical, you know, horror of people not being able to know what's going on. Now, if you find out what's going on, then you better do something. If you don't know about it, well, you can somewhat blame the Jewish establishment for censoring everybody.
Let's end the show. Thanks a lot, William. You'll have a nice.
Yeah. Have a great weekend.
With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.